Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you until 6:30 a.m. We'll go back to the phones in just a few minutes here, but first, going to go out on the guest line to Greg Murphy. That's Phillies On Deck and Phillies playback host Greg Murphy, and also this weekend, Phillies play-by-play voice on radio, Greg Murphy. Murph, live down in Miami here. Murph, do you get excited for, you know, this is like Murph play-by-play season, isn't it? Like, you know, Tom goes on the road, goes and does football, Scott slides and does TV. Like, this, you live for these September weekends, I assume.
You know what? I do, because it's the only opportunity I get. And it's funny, I was telling Scott Fransky the other day, I think I've been with the team for going on 10 years, 11 years, something like that. And I get to do, you know, 5 or 6 games a year, which is difficult, to be quite honest, because it's hard to get into any kind of rhythm. But that said, you know, I always think to myself, wow, how lucky am I to even get an opportunity to be one of the people that call a Phillies game from time to time. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's great working with L.A. I've been working with Stocker a couple times earlier this year, so getting a chance to work with L.A. is great, too.
Let's take a look at these last couple of weeks, and then we'll kind of go bigger picture. You know, the Phillies had struggled there for a while, really since the All-Star break. I mean, we'd all heard the stats since London that they were below 500, X, Y, and Z. But really since the All-Star break until like the middle of August, it felt like things really kind of went into a rut for this team. And now over the last 2 weeks, things have been much better. You know, 11-3 in their last 14. A bit of a, you know, dud game on Saturday night in Miami. But overall, as you see this team, not just on the field playing better, but, you know, you travel with the team, you know, everywhere they go. Can you feel, does it feel like there's a difference, you know, on the bus, on the plane, stuff like that? Or is it just same business as usual and the play on the field is just kind of converted back to what it was?
Well, honestly, I think it's a little bit closer to the latter, because even when things weren't going well, I don't think you would have known that on the bus and on the plane and inside that clubhouse when the doors are closed. Because the guys on this roster, really, for the most part, you know, it's veteran-laden roster. They've been through it before. They understand. And I know it is hard for fans to understand when you're jumping kind of in and out and you're just watching, you know, you're not playing in 162. You're maybe watching 100 games a year or whatever. The season in baseball, unlike any other, I think, team sport, you're going to have situations, you're going to have times where you're losing much more than you're winning. It's just going to happen. And then you look up on September 7th or 8th or whatever today's date is, and you still have the best record in baseball, and that's because the Phillies played so well early in the season. I don't think there was ever a real level of concern inside that clubhouse. Now, they weren't happy with the way they were playing, don't get me wrong, but I think they understood that there was too much talent in that room for it to last too much longer. Probably lasted a little bit longer than anyone thought, but again, no real panic, no worry. There were conversations, there were, you know, talks in the mirror, and hey, we've got to be better, we've got to do a better job. But ultimately, they've kind of come out of that, I think it's fair to say, and now they're looking just towards the postseason. They're ready to go, and they're in a terrific spot. You know, nothing's locked up yet, but they're in a really good spot and, you know, should be heading into the postseason relatively healthy and kind of on a roll.
Let's start with the star of, or, you know, let's kind of move to the star of the team here in Bryce Harper. I believe I was, you know, producing as you were doing play-by-play for the game on Saturday night. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, the team had really been struggling there for a couple of weeks. The team as a whole has gone to 11-3, and Bryce Harper in general has continued to hit relatively well over the stretch. But one thing that we have not seen for a little bit here is his power. I believe his last home run, August 9th. I mean, we're coming up on like a month since he's homered last. And I believe the stat was that that would be the longest number of games he has gone without a home run during his time with the Phillies. And I would imagine close to, if not already there, his time just in the big leagues. Your level of concern with, you know, Bryce's power? Because certainly I think everyone knows they need his bat and they need his bat to explode in the postseason. You know, the team playing well, he's overall hitting well, but a couple of weeks to go here, he, you know, maybe not finding his power stroke. What's the level of concern there, and what's kind of the feeling around that?
Honestly, again, I think the level of concern is very low. In fact, I had that conversation with Rob Thompson a day or two ago, just, you know, asking his level of concern, and his is virtually zero. I think everybody understands that Bryce is going to, you know, step up to the occasion like he always does. And in the postseason, if the Phillies need a home run, chances are if Bryce gets a chance, you know, he's your best chance at getting one. Whether he hasn't hit one in a month, whatever. I mean, it's just when he starts hitting them, and he will soon enough, he's going to hit 5, 6, 7 in a two-week span because that's the way Bryce Harper is. It's the way Kyle Schwarber is. You know, it's the way a lot of these guys are. You know, they get locked in, double turn into home runs relatively easy when the launch angle changes by a degree. And he has been hitting his doubles. He's been getting his hits. It's just they haven't gone over the wall. And I think it's frustrating for Bryce. And I think Bryce thinks about it a little bit and wants to be that power guy at all times. But, you know, in baseball, you're going to go through these times. So I think it's the second longest stretch that he's gone without a home run now. It tied after he did not hit one on Saturday. It tied the second longest stretch in his big league career. But I still think it's like 7 or 8 games before he gets to the longest stretch of his career. So he's not there yet. It's happened before. It's going to happen again over the next 7, 8 years when he's playing baseball. So I don't think there's any reason to be overly concerned.
About 3 weeks out here from the start of the postseason, you know, Sunday I think will mark exactly 3 weeks, 21 days until game 162 wraps up in Washington. And the Phillies are in a pretty good spot. You know, I know no one's counting, you know, the chickens before they hatch, so to speak, but we, you know, the Phillies are in a unique position in the sense that it's not the position they were in each of the last two seasons. They did not win the division right. Each of the last two seasons. They were not this front-running team for much of the season. And so with that comes some luxury of, you know, trying to get guys rest towards the end of the year. Still might have to play for that first-round bye towards the end, but you can try and line up your rotation a little bit better. That's theoretically the advantage of getting that first-round bye. Do you think there's any, you know, level of negotiation in terms of what that playoff rotation will look like once it, you know, they line up again, hopefully straight in the National League Division Series? I mean, is it we're just going to see Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, Sanchez, or Sanchez, Suarez, some variation of that? Or do you think there's anything still left to be determined in Rob Thompson's mind?
No, I don't think so. You know, I can't imagine, you know, any of the new arms that have kind of are going to come onto the scene in the next week or two. You know, I think about Colby Allard, think about, you know, Taiwan Walker again. You think about the young guy that's, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, that's going to pitch tomorrow.
Seth Johnson,
going to pitch tomorrow. Yeah, he's going to make his major league debut. I mean, it would have to be nothing short of absolutely remarkable, you know, to kind of displace one of the top four. The Phillies, you know, they head into the postseason with 4 legitimate postseason pitchers, right? Now, we haven't seen Christopher Sanchez in the postseason to any extent, but I don't know that there's any reason to believe he's not going to be able to continue doing what he's doing. And we've seen the other 3, and we know how good they could be in the postseason. So it's a luxury in a lot of ways for the Phils. I mean, you know, in the early short series, you might not even need that 4th guy to start a game for. You might, depends on the way the schedule works out, but you might not. And especially if you're able to set up your rotation with that first round bye and get guys, you know, rest and ready to go for the postseason. So I don't see any kind of deviation from those 4 in terms of your postseason. And then, you know, the guys that I just mentioned, if they are pitching well, they would serve as any kind of bulk relief or, you know, an innings eater in a situation that you might need it in the postseason. But I got to believe if you look around baseball, even teams that are headed to the postseason, I think the Phillies are set up just about as good as anybody when it comes to the starting pitching side.
Is your expectation that it would be Sanchez game 3, Suarez game 4, Suarez still not fully stretched out at this point? I mean, I assume it's going to be those 4, but kind of what game 3 and game 4 would look like?
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't know. Larry and I actually were talking about that today off the air in a commercial break and just wondering the same thing, whether, you know, they would move Sanchez into that 3rd spot if Suarez is still, you know, kind of bouncing back from missing some time. I don't think they will do that. I think Rangers are number 3 guy, and I just think it sets up that way, and Sanchez comes in as your 4. But, you know, first of all, there's a lot of baseball still to be played before they have to make that decision. So if one of them is pitching lights out, perhaps that changes the thinking going into the postseason. But, you know, in my mind, Ranger has kind of earned that number 3 spot, and it would take a lot for me to have him lose it. And I think Rob Thompson is of a similar ilk when he thinks about his veteran guys and the guys that have helped get them there, you know, over the last couple of years, that those guys deserve the benefit of the doubt. And you're certainly not taking a chance by putting Ranger Suarez in game three or putting Christopher Sanchez in game three. They're both good decisions. So I think it probably will just remain to be seen.
The fifth guy in that rotation, or at least the guy who entered the season as the fifth guy in that rotation, was Taiwan Walker, a guy we saw on Saturday night. Certainly his role has now changed, moving to the bullpen, you know, sometimes in a little bit of a longer role, sometimes in a bit of a shorter role, certainly an adjustment kind of for everyone and, you know, pretty late in the season for an established veteran. I mean, is there, first of all, what is the sense you get for how he's accepting that role? And he's not a guy who really touched the ball in the postseason, you know, last year. Is that where he's headed? And is that, or is he just kind of a mop-up guy? Like, how has this transition been received? And is this kind of just where we're at for the remainder, not only for the remainder of this season, but, you know, he's still under contract through next year and the year after that?
Yeah. I mean, I think those are questions that will have to get answered in the offseason, honestly. The situation with Taiwan is very fluid. And Taiwan has had a lot of success in the big leagues, and he's done it for more than 10 years. You know, he's one of the few players in the history of baseball that has 10 years of service time. I think it's only like 11% that ever play the game get to that level. He's one of them. I mean, he's a guy that has done it at this level. He is not doing it right now. That's obvious. It's nothing I need to tell anybody that's been watching the games. He's been struggling. So he's accepted this role. He's accepted this idea that he is going to be coming out of the bullpen. And now, I mean, I've talked to him about it. He wants to be good in that role, right? That is the role that is being offered to him at the moment. And he wants to be good at it. And he wants to be part of the postseason, for sure. He wants to be a guy that can come into a postseason game and be effective out of the bullpen, because that's the role it's going to be. Whether or not he is that guy remains to be seen, and whether or not the team ultimately trusts him to be that guy, I think, remains to be seen, because I think he has a little bit to prove right now as he continues to work back. But, you know, he's a pro, and I know a lot of people get on Taiwan because of the results, but I can tell you, he's a guy that works his tail off and wants to be successful, and he wants to continue to be successful at the big league level. So I know he's going to do everything he can to be a part of it, and he'll be disappointed if he's not, for sure. But, hey, it's a results-oriented business. He knows that. Everybody knows that. So he's going to have to perform over the next 3 weeks if he's going to get called up, get the call in October.
Talking to Greg Murphy here of the Phillies Radio Network, hosts Phillies On Deck before every single game, hosts Phillies Playback after every single game, and this weekend doing play-by-play on radio here on WIP and across the Phillies Radio Network. Am I correct in saying you started at least in a full-time capacity on the TV side with the team in 2012?
That is correct.
All right, so here's my follow-up to that. You know, maybe amongst the players, but even for you yourself, this is coming up on, you know, you're wrapping up regular season number 13 here, if I'm doing that math correct. The Phillies are on the brink of their first division title since you've, you know, been working full-time with the team. Does it feel, you know, I alluded to the fact that this is, for this group, the first time they're front-running, but a lot of these guys have really only, in terms of postseason success, have only seen the last couple of years. And yes, they've been to the World Series and they've been magical runs, but with being the front-runner comes expectations, comes, you know, it's not going to require some miracle run here in September. We're not maybe scoreboard watching as intently, at least for playoff spots, maybe for buys and things like that. But, you know, it seems like, at least the way it's trending right now, things are going to get wrapped up a little bit more easily as far as the division is concerned than they have in previous seasons. And again, that would be the first time that you have seen it in this full-time role. Does it feel different for you? Does it seem to feel different for anyone else? Or is the expectations being handled again just totally professionally and business as usual?
Well, you know, I'll speak to me first. And to me, it does feel a little bit different, right? 2022, you know, kind of just all of a sudden happened. I mean, there was certainly expectation and hopes, but, you know, we had been disappointed in 20 and 21. And, you know, they'd gotten close, but no cigar kind of thing. In 22, the wheels were shaking a little bit in September, especially early in September before they locked it back in and earned that playoff spot. And then the run to the World Series was magical. But I think it was kind of unexpected. And it was a blast. It was a fun ride. It was the first I had experienced as a member of the team, the postseason with the Phillies. So for me, it was all really great. And then last year, equally great, except for the disappointing end. But this year, yeah, it's, I think the expectations this year are real. And it's not just the fans and it's not just the media. It's the players and it's the front office. There is a expectation of success. And, you know, whether or not they win a World Series remains to be seen, because I think it does take a little bit of luck in the whole grand scheme of things to win a World Series, too. You have to have talent. You have to be playing well. You have to be healthy. But I think you have to get a little lucky, too. And so I do think it feels a little bit different for me, because I'm not sweating out getting into the postseason kind of thing. But I am scoreboard watching. I'm watching those games that mean something for that first round bye, because I think for this Phillies team, that first round bye is very important. And I think if they get that first round bye, it sets them up very well for success in the postseason.
Well, so yeah, let's talk about that. I personally believe, and based upon your last answer there, I'm going to guess you agree with this, that there has been a really, maybe not recently, but entering the season, and because this new playoff format is new, and because the Phillies had not made the postseason you were full-time on the TV side again for almost the entire decade of them missing the playoffs year after year after year, so I don't have to, you know, tell you, but like there were many years there, and the playoff format changed. They added a wild card team, and now they've added two wild card teams, so that first round bye, but in recent memory, certainly on the NL side, like that first round bye has not been helpful. Like the Dodgers haven't had great postseason. They won their World Series in the COVID year, which was a weird year to begin with. The Braves have gotten bounced by the Phillies back-to-back years here after having the first round bye. And so small sample size, it almost creates this false bravado that, you know, it's like the rest versus rust debate, excuse me, that like playing through that week is actually more helpful than not. I mean, how huge is it for them to get that first round bye? Because as much as it seems like the division is in a stranglehold, that first round bye is not. The Brewers, the Dodgers, the Phillies, like, feels like two of those three are going to get it. How critical, if you could put it into words, is avoiding playing that wild card series?
Yeah, you know, I think the last couple of years have been a little bit of, you know, an outlier. I think it's a little bit of an aberration that the wild card team has an advantage because they're playing through. I mean, the Phillies took advantage of it. Yes, that's true. Arizona took advantage of it last year. But I think if you back off and play it out for the next 15, 20 years with this extra wild card, I think it will balance out that the top two seeds more often than not find themselves in the World Series, right? The one or the two seed represents the National League, and the one or the two represents the American League. I think that is going to play out over the long haul to be true. And if I believe that, then I've got to believe that that's going to start as early as this year, right? So I think it's very important for the Phillies to get that bye. They've been the wild card. They've been the hunter over the last couple of years, and they've, you know, jumped up and bit a team early in the postseason. That could happen to them too. It can happen if you have the bye, right? It's not going to happen. You're not going to lose a wild card if you're in the top two, because you're not playing one. And then you just have to play good baseball from there on out. So I think it's very important. You know, if they get the number three spot and have to play the wild card, they're probably going to play a team like the Mets, perhaps, or maybe the Padres. I mean, short series, anything can happen, and we know that. So in my opinion, avoid that like the plague if you can, if you're the top team. If you're battling to try and get in the sixth or the fifth spot, take what you can get, right? But if you're one of the best teams in baseball, try to get one of those top two and avoid having to play in that first series, because if you avoid it, you can't lose it. That's just the way it is. So I think that's important. I do.
So here's another thought off that. As a result of the Phillies this time being, you know, you said the hunted, not the hunter, and this is a new role for them. It's a new role, you know, for you. Actually, you know, you've seen them get in the playoffs twice since working with them, in both in wild card type of roles. Once they had to be the sixth seed and knock off the Cardinals in St. Louis last year, they hosted the series over the Marlins, but in both cases were not the division winner, did not get a first round bye. If the Phillies do indeed, you know, as we all kind of expect here at this point, wrap that up, complete that, and are, you know, they get, and let's say they even do get that first round bye. I know, you know, deep down, as I've gotten to know you better here over the past few years, you're optimistic, and I know that you will believe that they can beat whoever they can play, but we all have that fan in us. We all start looking at other teams, and especially when you are in that hunted role of, like, teams you want to see, teams you maybe would prefer to avoid. Like, do you have any teams that you're like, I don't want to play them, I prefer to play them, like, as this thing starts to shake out here?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. Because, look, I'm a fan first, right?
Of course,
I'm lucky enough to be a broadcaster, but I'm a fan. I grew up here. I had been a baseball fan my whole life. And yeah, so I have that mentality of who I think we match up better. Take it with a grain of salt, because I don't think I know anything more than anybody else. But that said, I don't want to play the Braves. I do not want to play the Braves for the same reason as I was just talking about. Sooner or later, the Braves are going to beat the Phillies, right?
Yeah, the script gets flipped, and that won't be fun, yeah.
Exactly. And so the Braves at that point would have nothing to lose. Coming in as the sixth seed, we're the division winners. We'd beaten them twice in the last 2 years. It's a perfect script for them to then ruin the party at that point. And so I don't want to play the Braves. I want no parts of the Braves. I hope the Nationals catch the Braves and the Mets catch the Braves, and I don't want any parts of them. That said, Arizona, they seem to lull us to sleep, and it's a tough place to play out there. So seeing them in the postseason is not my top choice. We play terrific baseball in San Diego and have historically for a long, long time. But that Padres team is a good team and playing really good baseball. So, look, there's no easy games. There's going to be no easy series once the postseason starts. But I think for me, if we were to lose – to any team other than the Braves, I might be able to get up the next morning and be okay.
You lose to the Braves, that's going to be hard.
I couldn't stomach losing a postseason series to the Braves. I just couldn't at this point. I don't want to lose to anybody, but that would be the
one extra
month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, because I do think sooner or later, the numbers will even out. The Braves are a good team. Now they're banged up. So, It might not be this year, but sooner or later, the Braves will bite up or jump up and bite the Phillies at some point.
I'm going to get you out of here on two kind of quick fun questions that are a little bit less, you know, X's and O's or, you know, on the field. Like, X's and O's more of a football reference. But I've had, you know, the opportunity over the past couple of years. It's awesome to, you know, produce a number of games here on WIP. And with that, I think sometimes the most entertaining part is hearing the off-air conversation, some of which we will keep off the air. But if you have, you know, these seasons fly by fast, and I'm sure, you know, you always, like, 162 games seems so long at the beginning of the year, but here we are in September. Like, I just caught myself earlier in the interview saying, like, wow, 3 weeks to go until the final day in Washington. Like, 162 can go kind of fast. You're on the road right now in Miami. I'm sure you have many of them, but if you have this year in 2024, you have a favorite road moment that has happened, you know, amongst the broadcasters, amongst the team. I know Larry Anderson finally got a chance to go on the road this trip, and they finally lost, which, you know, L.A. was secretly fist pumping because now he's not stuck going on every road trip for the, you know, remainder of time here. What's been the best road trip moment so far this year?
Oh, gosh, to be honest, Dan, there are so many, because we have such a great group of guys that we're, you know, and believe me when I tell you, it's not the same in every city. It's not the same in every broadcast booth in every ballpark in America. There are broadcast teams that just genuinely don't get along. We, to a man, get along terrifically. And it's because no one really has much of an ego on this team or on this broadcast team. And we just enjoy each other's company. So to answer your question, I'm racking my brain to remember what city it was. I can picture the hotel. It was early in the year, and there was a night where couldn't even tell you if we won or lost, but we came back to the hotel, and I think the game had ended a little bit early, and we just kind of gathered, and we don't often do this, from time to time. We gathered in the hotel bar. I think there was about six of us, and we sat around for about 3.5-4 hours just telling stories. And I mean, I can remember thinking, I haven't laughed this hard in a long, long time. And it was just so much fun. It was completely unscripted and unplanned, but it was just, you know, six of us sitting around, you know, talking about stories of of years gone by of things that have happened on the road. And it was just so much fun and so entertaining. And we're lucky because we get to do that from time to time. In fact, the Friday Night Roundtable is basically, you know, kind of our on-air version of just sitting around and shooting the stuff. So it, but that I do remember. I think it was in St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know when that,
was. That was in April. That was
It was early. It was definitely early in the season. So I think it was in St. Louis, and it was just it was a night where we just laughed and it was so much fun. So we're lucky that we get to have moments like that.
I was gonna say that the solar eclipse was that week, and that feels like ages ago. At this point,
it could have been.
If that feels like even this season. And just to further encapsulate just kind of how long a baseball season can feel, but also how fast, in a sense, it can go. So on Friday night, when I'm sure many Philadelphians were watching the Phillies game, this is just a fun thing I like to do, exercise at the end of the season. I don't know if you've ever been on the website Sporacle or are familiar with it, where you know.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I love taking like the end of season Sporacle quiz of like every guy who appeared in a Phillies game at the end, like at the end of the season in 2024.
I'm gonna be terrible at this.
I was gonna say like Buddy Kennedy is gonna be a great answer for that at the end of the year. Connor Brogdon's gonna be a great name to like holy hell, like that guy pitched this year. Cal Stevenson's gonna be another good one. Do you have a favorite like 2024 like Philly who it's like he's gonna be forgotten about, but I'll remember he did this, or I won't forget him if you know I were to take that quiz at the end of the year?
Well, I mean, I think you just named a couple of good ones. You know what? Connor Brogdon is probably the one. It seems like a million years ago that Connor Brogdon pitched for the Phillies, and you're saying it was earlier this year.
2024, yes.
You could have won a lot of money from me had you dropped that as a bet, because I would have told you, no way that was this year. And I like Connor. Connor was a good dude to be around. I know he struggled there at the end with the team, but I like Connor. But, yeah, oh, my God. That I'm not good at that to begin with. Like, if you asked me a guy in 2019, I'd be like, you know, really? I don't remember him being a part of the team. So, that's a great name. So I don't have a better one than Connor Brogdon, because again, that seems like 100 years ago to me.
I'll give you another quick one. Ricardo Pinto is a great way. He showed up in the fourth inning and actually, got in the game. And that was kind of just a fun story that Pat Gillick found him and Dombrowski signed him on the spot.
That's more right. Or less.
Yes. I'm a sucker for stories like that. And so that, as the season wraps up, obviously postseason is the big picture, but I think there's just fun stuff like that. Along the way. Greg Murphy.
No doubt. Well, hey, yeah. to do yourself a favor then and check in on the Marlins, who just set a major league record for using their, I think it was their 67th player this year.
That is nuts.
67 different players played for the Marlins this year. That's insane.
It's incredible.
Major league record.
And you and Larry were talking off the air during the game on Saturday, how they didn't have a single guy who had a save on their roster entering the game.
Yeah.
Which in September,
tonight,
like that really might be a major league record. Like, I don't even know how that's even possible.
Early in the game on Saturday, we read over the transactions that the Marlins did on Friday. So from Friday to Saturday, the Marlins made literally 9 different transactions to take guys off the roster and put new guys on. In a day, in over one night, they had to do that. The Phillies will go, the Phillies could go a month and not have that many transactions, and the Marlins did it in one day. So, it's nuts. Baseball's nuts. There's so many things that happen in the game of baseball. I mean, my gosh, it's been around for 150 years, and it seems like weekly we say, oh, that's never happened before. That's the first time that's ever happened. And that's what I think is so great about baseball. You know, we see these things, and you just say, wow, no one's ever seen that before, and we just saw it. So that's kind of cool.
Also makes you appreciate being good when you look at a team like the Marlins, who are playing these games at a formality at this point.
Greg, they were a postseason team a year ago.
I know, and that's kind of the amazing thing about that, too, is that less than 365 days ago, they played the Phillies in a playoff series. Certainly feels like a totally separate franchise.
100 years ago.
Yeah, 100 years ago is exactly right. Greg Murphy from Phillies on Deck, Phillies Playback, and this weekend doing play-by-play on radio. You can hear him coming up later on today. 1:40 first pitch pregame. We'll start at 1:05 here on WIP and the Phillies Radio Network. Murph, fun as always. Thank you so much for the time.
Anytime, Dan. Always appreciate your help behind the scenes, and love listening to you when you're behind the microphone as well. So anytime.
Again, that was Greg Murphy, broadcaster for the Phillies, does pregame, does postgame, and this weekend doing play-by-play with Tom McCarthy doing the NFL for CBS. Scott Francis sliding over and doing TV, and you know Murph sliding in and doing play-by-play this weekend in Miami. Going to reopen the phone lines coming up next year, 215-592-9494, talking all things Phillies as they wrap up their road trip, their six-game road trip where they are 4-1 thus far. As you heard Murph mention there, it'll be Seth Johnson getting the Sunday nod in Miami as the Phillies look to go 5-1 on this road trip and dwindle that magic number down even further in their quest to officially clinch the National League East, hone in a bye, again, with just 3 weeks to go here in the Major League Baseball regular season, as well as the Eagles. Eagles win 34-29 over the Green Bay Packers. We'll reset the phone lines and the board on that and reopen the discussion on that. On the other side, you're listening to Dan Wilson right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP.